Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Mikey P., my Irish friend, and it's the week after St. Paddy's Day.
I'm happy to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you. And
I thought about wearing my kilt into the office, but decided it wasn't good for someone in my position to break the dress code.
Yeah, and we're on an open show tonight, Michael.
Yes, we are. We're looking forward to calls. We hope you guys have a lot of questions out there that we can help and answer. That's where we get our energy from, right?
That is it. And the whole purpose of doing this show is to help you manage your personal finances and answer your questions with as objective and unbiased recommendations as we can. That's what a true professional advisor should do, is try to eliminate as much as possible conflicts of interest and always work as a fiduciary in the best interest of clients and have solid reasoning and understanding as to why they're making the recommendation they're making.
If we could only have that in more areas of our life.
Yes, I understand. So if you want to call in 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. Now's the time to do it. People who come in early, they're the ones that get the most attention. And the number tonight is 410-922-6680. So you're raising your hand over there.
You're forgetting this is my Zoom language now, where I raise my hand to let you know.
Okay, but you have to get it in the Zoom thing. You got to hit the little hand in the Zoom thing.
You never pay attention to that. I was just going to say that, you know, I don't know how many of the listeners know that you and I produce a video once a month, just going over the market a little bit and going over some financial planning topics. And anybody, not just our clients, are welcome to subscribe to get that video. You can just go on our website and put a message in to contact us with your email address, and we'll add you to the list. But this week, you and I were talking a lot about, you know, the major topics we keep hearing about, and we hear people talking about it, whether it's on the news or whether it's in other places. And people aren't necessarily lying, but they're portraying the information in a way to derive an emotional response from people. And really, in a way, helping people frame up, you know, the question, whether it be about the housing market, whether it be about interest rates and inflation, or whether it be about changes to the estate law. They're really not framing it up in a way to give people the right way to look at things. So if you have any questions on that tonight, but I think we probably got some calls because Chris looks busy over there.
He does, and we do have a call, but you're absolutely right, and I've talked about this many times, that you get all these things from the media, and they just try to hype you up to get you to come and read their articles, watch their videos, listen to their podcast or whatever, and that's called marketing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it's destructive if you don't understand what you're actually listening to.
We do a lot of training with our team to avoid scams on emails and things like that. And one of the main tools a scammer uses is telling you that there's an urgent need, act fast.
Yeah.
You know what? That same thing could be a scam when it's somebody else telling you you need to do something.
All right, we're going to go to Don, right? Did I get that right? Don, and I didn't even have my glasses on. Don in Falston, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. I'm in a situation. I've got a wedding coming up, so I've got some short-term money that I'm going to have to access, maybe a year, 2 years, whatever. But I know it's dedicated to that. So I'm looking like, okay, the only thing I could come up with other than sticking it in a bank account and getting absolutely nothing for it was laddering some CDs, which is almost still getting nothing for it. Do you have any great genius ideas of where to park $15,000, $20,000 that you could, you know, access over a six-month period?
Mikey wants the answer. Yeah. Go ahead, Mikey.
I'm going to tell you, Don, it's just, you know, online savings is your best bet. There's a number of them out there. It's American Express has one, Personal Savings. That's who I use. Ali Bank, I believe that might be who Drew uses.
Synchrony.
Marcus. They're about a half a percent.
Yeah,
my American Express as of yesterday was 0.45%.
Yeah, but there are a few of them out there that are 0.6 still right now. You just have to find them. CIT Bank was 0.6 a week ago. And so the nice thing about them, Don, is that if interest rates start to rise again, those online savings accounts go up pretty quickly. For example, about a year ago, I was getting 2.25% on my online savings account. But when the pandemic hit, boom, you know, and they dropped interest rates down to nothing, boom, my online savings account went back down to 0.5%. But they're probably going to hold the line here at this 0.5% area. But if rates go higher, it'll go up, and it's FDIC insured, and that's the key. You really don't want any fluctuation. You know, there's tons of people who give you plenty of great, brilliant ideas, but they all come with risk, and you really don't want any risk with this.
No, and I was just trying to get ahead of inflation. I just can't imagine with the way the government's printing money that inflation isn't going to be a factor in a very near future.
Yeah, well, you know, that's going to be an interesting question to see how inflation does come. There's inflation clearly in certain areas, and there's inflation or deflation still in other areas. So that's an interesting phenomena. And you know, Japan has been doing the same thing the United States is doing for the last 25 plus years. So Japan, you know, the numbers, the statistics of how much money Japan borrows compared to what they actually take in and how much their debt is to their overall GDP is astronomical compared to the United States. But yet at the same time, they still have experienced no inflation in 25 years. So I hear you and I agree. Something's going to happen someday. The question always is, when? Is it 2 years from now, or is it 22 years from now, or 222 years from now? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, and the tough part is I remember the Jeffrey Levitt days with Old Court when we used to get 18%, you know?
Yep, yep.
The good old days.
Yep.
And then the other part, I still remember what happened to Greece a couple of years ago where they went in taking money out of people's savings accounts to pay for the government.
Yep.
And you know, so I'm a little edgy these days, I guess.
I know. You know, people are right now because you do have a lot of different things going on. But there's, you know, at this point in time, I am not concerned.
We don't have a magic ball of future. But the one thing I will say is that was one of the facts we were sharing is November last year, inflation was at 2.3. I think as of the other day, it was at 1.6 for February annualized rate. So we don't know where it will be. But we can tell you where it is, and it hasn't gone up yet. The other thing, I got to give Drew credit. You're beating me by 10 basis points. My American Express savings is down to 40 bips, and you're still up at 50 bips.
There you go.
Ally Bank
is still ALLY. There you go. All right, Don?
All right.
Take
so
care.
Listen to Drew, not the other guy. I get another whole 0.1 out of it, right?
There you go. That's, you know, story of my life, Don.
The other guy is Mike. Remember that.
All right, Mike.
All right.
No problem.
I'll count on it. Thanks. Bye.
Take care. See, Mike's one of your compadres.
Yeah,
because
they're in Falston.
From Falston. Mike lives in Falston, too. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. All lines are open. I got to go to a traffic break, but if you want to call in while I'm on, 410-922-6680. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of The Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. I know the song. Why do you got to keep playing it, you know?
I'm going to bring some of my own songs.
We're here on We're here on an open show, and we have callers here, Mikey. And but none of them live in Falston, so I don't know if I can answer any of their questions. Jay in Towson, how can we help you?
I got a question for you about post office.
Yes.
The rates and delivery times, and now they say they're going to be raising rates and all that. Okay, what's going on?
Well, they're as dysfunctional as dysfunctional gets. So
yeah, the is it the Postmaster General or is that or is it Secretary?
Yeah, the Postmaster General.
Postmaster General said earlier this week that his first solution to solving the problem is to raise rates and slow delivery times, reduce delivery
time
expectations.
Yes,
and you know the thing is the post office has been losing money for.
Forever.
Yeah. I don't know if it ever made any money. And it was seen as something that was essential because as a blooming government, as a blooming society, it was something we needed. And we needed to provide it so people could go out west. And you know what? Even if you go all the way to the West Coast, it's still 51 cents to get a mail piece to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Germany privatized their post office years and years and years ago.
Yeah. So, well, ours is partially privatized because even if you send something by the mail, it doesn't mean that UPS didn't fly it over the
well, that's
side.
True. But, you know, anyway, good question, Jay. Good hearing from you again. I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm sorry that that's happened that way. But, you know, the post office delivery, I've had a situation where priority mail, I can remember it at $3.75 or $4.75. And 2-day delivery. Yeah. Now I've had packages or flats that have not been delivered in 2 weeks' time.
I understand, Jay, and I got to run, but yep. I agree. I had one just come from Christmas just recently. Craig and Frederick, how can I help you?
Hey, man, I'm enjoying the show. My question is, when I was growing up back in the 60s and 70s, my grandfather took out a passbook savings account, and we watched our money grow, and it helped to make us young savers.
Okay.
What do we do now for the grandkids coming up?
Well, like we were talking about earlier, you do have online savings accounts that do that to some degree. That's a little bit. But what I recommend is buying an ETF in the S&P 500 or the mid-cap or the small-cap or some.
Yeah, and let's start at the beginning there. So the first step in that process is to open a custodial account. So
yeah.
If they're below the age of majority, which in the state of Maryland is 21, you pick somebody like yourself if you're going to give them a little bit of money to start with. And I believe that even as a custodial account, they can get online access. So you can give them that they can get it on the app and they can start watching what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. You go to Vanguard or Charles Schwab or Fidelity, you open up a custodial account, and it's free to buy any ETF of any index on any of those three brokerage platforms. Free. There's no cost to it whatsoever except for some trivial costs inside the index.
Which would take us a half hour to explain.
Which would take a long time to explain. But the point is that you can teach your kids not only how to save, Craig, but also the power of the stock market and the beauty of the stock market.
Excellent.
All right, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Take care. You know, when he was a kid, you couldn't have done that.
I had a passbook savings account.
No, but you couldn't have bought a stock or, you know, it wouldn't have been easy. Yeah, well, you couldn't have bought just $50 worth.
They wouldn't have opened your account.
He can open up a index fund and buy one share if he wants to for whatever it costs.
He doesn't even have to buy a whole share.
I know. He can buy slices.
He can buy a dollar.
He can buy slices now from Schwab. Anyway, we're going to Earl in Northwest Baltimore.
Hi, Drew. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
Okay. Drew, I have a question for you. Why is it, I read on the internet, that whenever the bond yield always goes up, the NASDAQ always goes down, but it doesn't affect the Dow? Why is that, Drew?
So when bond yields go up, the Dow goes down? Is that what you said?
No, the NASDAQ always goes down. Whenever the bond yield goes very high, like I think it was 1.8 or something. I don't know what it is today. But whatever, when the bond yield goes up, the NASDAQ always seems to go in the opposite direction.
So that is sort of a recent phenomena that is sort of happening right now. And there's a reason for that. And, you know, there's best I can do is give you a theory behind it. Okay. And
okay,
that is because
I asked somebody, they said, I read it and I still don't understand.
Here's
it, okay?
The theory that I would give you. Okay. Because it's not a trend that is, there's not a direct correlation between the movement of bond yields and the NASDAQ. I mean, we can go back a long way and I don't think you're going to find one, but let's talk about why it's happening now. The NASDAQ has been the top performing index for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, off the charts, historical rates of return. And like last year, it was up like 30% last year, Earl.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, I think it was up 25 or 30%. You know, so these tech stocks have been going out of the, you know, flying to the moon. And the market is getting to the place where they're feeling, well, maybe we've overdone it a little with the NASDAQ stocks, and it's taken a breather. And when it's taken a breather and yields go up on the bond market, okay, all of a sudden investors say, you know, hey, the NASDAQ's not going up like crazy like it used to. Maybe I ought to start taking some of my profit, and where am I going to sit in a while? Wow, these yields are going up right now, so I'm going to go after those, and I'm going to sell my stocks, buy bonds until I can decide that maybe the NASDAQ will come down finally, and I'll go back and invest. That's just a general theory that you're getting. People are tired. The NASDAQ is tired, and it's taken a rest. And people are starting to think maybe the NASDAQ isn't going up. You're getting a big sell-off. Anytime interest rates go up, stocks do tend to get sold off some. And I don't think there's a direct correlation you're going to be able to tie to it over a long period of time.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you, Drew.
All right, buddy, take care. It's a good question. You know, we ought to put that in a correlator to see if there actually is a direct.
I looked it up while we were talking.
Go ahead. What'd you look up?
There is a short-term, just realized correlation, not necessarily causation, correlation between the bond yields and the NASDAQ's.
How long do they
day.
Say it's been happening?
It said recent months.
Recent months.
In the very quick, this was about 7 seconds of research.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's exactly what I was talking about, is that there isn't a direct correlation with it. But there is a trend that has happened for the last few months, and I think it's just because the NASDAQ is tired right now. And, you know, so yields go up. The NASDAQ's going to be something they're going to sell to go buy those bonds. Yep. Anyway, I got some time, right? I got time. Time's on my side. Pete in Eastern Shore.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Listen, I just turned 88 years old, and I'm running two businesses, and I just heard you some figures that you just quoted, and that blew my mind, and that was the inflation figures that you gave out.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Because
annualized.
If you're in the right business, what? You're experiencing a lot of inflation, aren't you?
Would you like to know what the business that I'm in?
Construction.
I'm in farming, and I grow crops.
Okay.
Okay. And I was talking with my fertilizer supplier a few days ago. And he told me, he said, how much is my fertilizer going up from since last year? He very quickly said 25%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
25% in 1 year.
But let me ask you a quick question, Pete. Are your crops prices going up 25%?
I grow vegetables for the Pixweed Company, which is the largest food processor in the country, and also for a Frio company here locally, which cans sweet corn. And then I also grow a few row crops. But the thing is this, am I getting more now? Yes, I'm getting the prices these people are going to pay me this year are up from last year. But why is but not up 25%?
Right. I understand.
Now, let's talk about the real killer. I sell house lots to builders, okay?
Right.
Builders are in trouble right now because lumber prices go up.
Skyrocketing.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Almost daily. Also, things like plumbing supplies and also a lot of the stuff they need to build a house, they can't even get.
Yep. You're going to have to hold on for me, Pete, and I'm going to come back to you when we finish this break. Can you hold on? All right, hold on. Now take it away, traffic.
now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
All right, we're back. We're on open show. We're going to go to Pete for a second or two more because, hey, Pete, let me just tell you one interesting thing, because your statistics are fantastic that people need to hear, that prices of all kinds of things are going through the roof on in lots of areas. But here's an interesting statistic about how the Federal Reserve and them do their inflation projections. Okay, this might boggle your mind, but let's say in 2019, you went and bought a Toyota Tundra truck, okay? And you paid $35,000 for it. Let's just use that number. And then the next 2 years later, you need to get another Tundra truck, and you buy the same model, et cetera, but it's, you know, it's been upgraded a little. There's some new gadgets and gadgets on it, and you pay $38,000 for it. And the Fed could use that and say, that truck went down in value by 3%. You say, well, wait a minute. I just paid $3,000 more for it. Well, you see, the Fed factors in things like, well, the truck has some more gadgets and gadgets on it, and those gadgets and gadgets should have been worth even more money, but they weren't because they've been devalued, so therefore the truck went down in value.
Take it over a longer period of time. How much would you pay for a horse and buggy versus a Mercedes?
That's their concept.
Yeah, that's the concept.
Or the concept is if you bought a computer in 1 year and then 2 years later it was worth $900, you know, you paid $1,000, you know, and so forth. But that's the funny thing about inflation, Pete, is how they calculate it. You and I are experiencing it in a big way, but they tell us there's not hardly any out there.
But they've been doing it the same way.
They have been doing
it.
The whole thing is this, that we are not. I'm not getting the money for the lot today that I got in 2005. And here in Centerville, I was getting third of an acre lots. I was getting $135,000.
Right.
And selling some recently for $70,000.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, there you go. And the cost of creating a lot have gone up dramatically. Because it's all a baloney that the town puts on me.
I understand.
Regulations and everything else.
Ah.
And you know, just go out and buy a piece of property today and look at the bookwork that you've got to go through to change the title of a property.
I think these people have gone way too power hungry, to be honest with you, Pete. I got to run.
They've gone way too far. It creates a lot of work for lawyers.
I understand.
And title people and everything else, but it's so. What we used to do with one piece of paper. I mean, I've been in the land business for 65 years.
And yep.
I mean, it just blows my mind with
right.
this stuff. And
I got to run, Pete.
Go ahead. I'll talk to you later.
I understand. I hear. I would love to just give him time to just vent. Jamie in Cadenceville, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem. Good to talk to you. What's up?
So just put this in perspective. What would you do? Have a house in Cadenceville. The prices are going very high. The markup in Cadenceville is very high. It's a single-family home. If I get $400 for it, I'll net $250.
Yeah.
What would you do? Would you go and flip another house, go into another house, or just hold the money? I mean, based on the inflation projections that you anticipate, nothing etched in stone, but, you know.
Well, so what would be your purpose? So you would sell your house and buy up to a little bigger house and hope that it goes up also in the future?
I'm thinking not buy up because I don't want to go through all the heat. I just want to size down.
Here's my thing. I don't believe the real estate market is doing anything similar to 2005. I think what we're experiencing in the real estate market is something much more similar to the 1980s, where there's just a demand that is rising dramatically because of young people who are you raising your hand over there, Mikey?
You know, it's supposed to be a silent cue, Drew.
Yeah, it's supposed to be silent. He's raising his hand over there. But anyway, I think that there's a lot more going on in the real estate market that's positive because of the low interest rates. But I'm going to let Mikey add because he loves this topic.
So I love this topic. The you know, we just, this is another one of the topics from our this month's video about things people are talking about, and they're just not getting all of the data. So the data that you need to know is, one, national average 16% increase in home prices. But here's the thing. This week, a bunch of people went on TV and said, home sales down 6.6%.
Right.
That really gets me going, because they're sharing information to mislead you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, if you go back over the prior 3 years, we are a million home sales in February more than we had ever before. So home sales have been actually going up, but it was down 6.6 from just the prior month. Now, the thing here is, this is the thing that Drew's talking about, it's not the fact that there's no houses on the market. It's that demand increased so drastically, and yes, actually supply did increase. We went from like 5.3 million houses in 2018 sold to 6 point something. It was like 6.6 million or 6.8 million last month. So that's an increase in supply. But the thing is, if you have a million houses increase in supply, but you have demand for 7 million, that's what happens to prices. So that's what you're seeing. So that's
the daily supply of houses is just not what it's been, and you got a dramatic demand.
Well, John, been more than
as
what
I
it's
said
been.
To Mikey, Johnny's coming out of the basement. You know,
that's right. I was thinking that there's this frenzy, and people think, oh, I better get out or I better buy before the rate goes up again.
Part of that is true.
Part of that is true,
Jamie.
Okay,
so you're definitely seeing that people are saying, while rates are low, let's move up or whatever. Let's get out of the basement. Johnny's coming out of the basement and buying a house. He's getting married and, you know, and so forth. And so that is happening. You're seeing some of that. But here's the issue is that mortgage money is not easy. And appraisers are not artificially raising the prices of houses like they did back in 2005 and 2006. I knew a person in 2006 that bought a house that he had to pay $38,000 a year for when his total income was $35,000 a year, and he was approved for it. How did he get approved for it? Well, the mortgage broker fudged the numbers. The appraiser fudged the number. Everybody was fudging numbers to be able to keep the game going as long as he can. That is not going on now. And trust me, if that's not going on, that means we have real demand for houses that is not going to abate, other than you might see some cooling off if rates go back up to 4 or 5%, let's say. As Mike said, it was just 2 years ago that you had to borrow at 4.5%, 4.9.
4.9. Last November was the low at 1.65, and we're still in mid-low
three and a quarter right now.
Yeah, it's the typical
you're fine. So, Jamie, be careful. You know, if you decide to sell, be thoughtful about what you're going to do. Don't sell your house just because, you know, you think it's overblown right now, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy, take care. Good question, though. We're going to go to Michael in Pikesville. Michael, long time no talk to.
Good evening, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have what I think is a fairly simple question about Social Security. I held out till the very last minute, so to speak.
Age 70.
To collect my Social Security.
Okay.
And I'm going to be getting that starting in May.
Okay.
What percentage should I have held out for federal taxes?
Well, in general, what do you say your taxable income is every year on your tax return? Is it 50? Is it 100? Is it 500?
It's about 85,000.
85. So I would say you should save about 15% federal,
okay,
and nothing state, because state doesn't tax Social Security.
Gotcha. Okay, so 15% would be a good figure, right?
For what you're telling me, yeah, I'd say that would be a very good figure, 15%.
Okay, and you would advise having it taken out, correct?
That's a long discussion. But
okay.
if you like withholding from different types of income sources, yes, I would say that that's a fine way to do it.
Right.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Drew. I appreciate that very much.
All right, Michael, you take care. We're on an open show. Tom, I'm going to come back to you right after this pause with traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
So many easy ones tonight. This is ridiculous. I'm not even going to humor you with a guess. You're insulting me. Anyway, my musical acumen. Anyway, we're here on an open show. I've got, 7 minutes left or so. We got Tom on the line, and I probably could handle one or two more calls if you wanted to call in, 410-922-6680, but we're not going to make Tom and Towson hold any more.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Okay, my cash, my liquid cash, instead of using a online savings account, I've used a short-term bond ETF.
Sure.
VSTBX. It's the Vanguard short-term bond.
Sure.
Is there a danger? It's got a low duration, but is there still a danger that if inflation picks up and interest rates go up, that I will lose principal?
I would say no to the losing of principal. You know, because now it depends on which short-term ETF you own. Now, if you own the short-term ETF, I don't know, is it corporate bonds? Is it high-yield bonds? It's corporate.
And it does have some volatility.
Does it?
Yep. Let's see.
So it's not the rising of interest rates you have to worry about in that fund. It's if you had something like the pandemic last year, you probably saw that you took a little hit for a short period of time and then it recovered.
From 2742 to 2557.
Yeah, what's the cause of the volatility?
It's the risk of default of the bonds inside the portfolio. Now you go back to March of last year, right about this time, March of last year. I bet you anything that fund took a big giant drop. Do you remember?
I didn't own it then.
March 3rd. March, yeah. It's the wonder of technology. March 3rd, 2020, 2742.
That was the price.
And then if you went a few days forward, March 25th, it drops to 2557. But it comes,
So it dropped from 27
from
to 25?
2742 to 2557.
So it's down a little less than 8%. About
and
8%.
By July, you were back in the black.
And by July, it was back again.
But it is, that's the thing.
But you see, the thing that the bond fund was worried about was the default of bonds inside the ETF.
Right.
And that's the thing you have to worry about. If you have a really, really bad economy where you start seeing companies default, and, when you have a really bad downturn, like in 2008, you got a lot of defaults. So if that thing would have lasted any longer last year without the government throwing money at it like they did, you probably, that thing probably would have lost and had some defaults.
The purpose of the money and the timeline is everything.
That's because of the credit rating of the bonds.
Correct. The credit, you know, the bonds are, you know, have the risk of default. That's what the, that's your big risk in that fund. It's not interest rate movements, because there's such a low duration in there that even if rates move, it will blip, but it's not going to make a big blip one way or the other.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care.
I'll just share as we're going to the next caller. It's really the duration of when you need your money and how quickly and how sure. I mean, even that same bond fund, it wasn't a whole lot, but it went for a 3-year period or 4-year period during 16 to 19 where you would could have bought and you'd need 3 or 4 years to get back to zero.
Yeah, well, and that happens because that was a period of time where you did have some risk, credit risk. Yeah.
And if it's your earlier caller that needed the money in 6 months, that's
it wouldn't
probably
have
not a good one.
It wouldn't have worked
just
for him,
the
you
savings.
Know?
But if it's not for a year or two, even it might need it 3 years.
Yeah, and then if he's got lots of other options to draw money from, it works for him, you know?
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But, you know, me personally, I just keep my online savings account. I've got my credit lines, you know, my home equity credit lines to draw on if I need them. I've got my cash, my emergency cash, and I don't keep waddles of emergency cash like
people
talk.
3 to 6 months, maybe.
I don't even keep that. I keep I keep a good bit, but I'm not worried about 3 to 6 months or anything. It's a good bit of money there. I've got credit lines I can draw on if I have to. And then I have all kinds of different investment accounts that I can draw on.
Our general recommendation to most of our clients is 3 months of expenses if you're double income and they're both substantially equal or similar, and 6 months if you're a single income or substantially not equal.
There's certainly nothing wrong with that concept, you know? Absolutely. You know, you want to have that kind of liquid money, and we encourage our clients to always have a good bit of liquid money. We don't want to, you know, we get these clients that have... You know, you get clients coming in, and you see it all the time, where they have $100,000 in brick-and-mortar savings banks that are paying them nothing, nothing. You want to drive me crazy? Come into my office to do a financial physical and show me that you got hundreds of thousands of dollars in a brick-and-mortar savings account paying 0.01%. That's 0.0001. That's the, you know, these brick and mortar banks are ripping you off on your savings accounts. You can go to an online account. You can get at least 0.5% right now or 0.4% right now. And you can link that online savings account up directly to your brick and mortar checking account, because that's the thing that you really want there. You want your brick and mortar checking account, so you can go into the teller if you need to, and you already have your direct deposit going. You don't want to change that, you know. So that's really what you want. But your savings account, pull it out, put it in an online savings account, and then ACH link it right back to the checking account that you're using. So some of the online banks that we use, we recommend Marcus, that's Goldman Sachs. Mike uses American Express. Alex in our office uses Discover. I use Ally, ALLY. They're actually one of the highest yielding right now, ALLY. And if you're any good with computers, it is an excellent option. So I have my high-yield savings account. I got my high-yield checking account. So I don't even use any brick-and-mortar banks, me personally.
I don't either.
I'm 63 years old, and I have had no brick-and-mortar bank account since 2006. Why do I have none? Because I'm sick and tired of the brick-and-mortar banks and the way they treat us. And the fees, the interest they pay us, and the charges they hit you with all the time, and you got to look for one of their ATM machines and so forth. I mean, since 2006, I use a Charles Schwab Investor Checking, and I've gone around the world, and I use my ATM machine. If they charge me any fees, Schwab reimburses me.
You know, the one feature that sometimes people get hung up on, brick and mortar. Now, I'll give you a hug. If you have a lot of cash, you need to stick it in. That can get a little hard. You might need a friend.
Yeah, but you cannot go to an online account if you've got cash.
If you ever do need a lot of cash out, for some reason.
You can get it.
You can call Schwab and you can talk to them about another bank. Say, here's the bank, and I want you to issue counter credit. And it's like an old-fashioned thing from like people from England coming over from banking. And that system still exists where one bank will call another bank and says, I need you to give my client this money.
Yeah, and so you can get it, you know. But if you're in a business which you get cash in, you need a brick-and-mortar right. bank to deposit into, because that, you know, you can't deposit you can't deposit hard cash in an online account. You just can't. So
I tried stuffing it into the computer screen.
Anyway, Mikey, we're out of time. It was great talking to you. A lot of great questions tonight. Always enjoy it. Mike?
Absolutely. Have a wonderful night, everyone.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
I know things are going to be just fine if you only feel what I'd like to do to you. Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are going to be much better.